The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the first epistle of St. John, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. At that time, when it was late, that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said to them, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." These words are taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear friends, I would like to read you a letter that was written by a certain soldier. The soldier's name was Robert Keyworth, and he served in the United States Army during World War II. Realizing that he could die in combat, and fearing that he might never see his unborn child, Robert wrote a letter to him. It was a letter from a father to his child that he might never see, might never meet in this world. And so Robert wanted his words to be meaningful for the child's entire life. This is what he wrote. "The country which in a few short weeks will claim you as one of its newest citizens is fighting for its national existence. Your mother waits alone at home to bring you into the world, while your father prepares for whatever may be his share in the combat that lies ahead. The risks here are great, Robert wrote. But my fellow soldiers and I laugh as we joke about the future danger. Though we laugh now, still we know in our hearts that someday soon we must prepare ourselves for the final fact of death. If you choose, my dear child, to forget all else that is important, remember what I say to you now. The chaplain who ministers to the spiritual needs of my platoon, he has given me hope in these dark and war-torn times in which we find ourselves. Continuing, Robert said, this man of God has given me two words on which to base my courage and my hope of a better time. These simple words encompass all that I know, all that I would be able to tell you in 10,000 other words. Accept them, my child. Use them each day that you live. Use them in all your dealings with people. Use them in all situations, no matter how difficult that situation might be. And yours will be a happy life. The two words, my child, are these. Have faith. Have faith. These very words, my dear friends, are words that could have been said by the apostles to St. Thomas the Apostle after the resurrection of our Lord. Have faith. Have faith, Thomas. They could have said that to St. Thomas. You see, in the evening on the first Easter Sunday, our risen Savior appeared to the apostles. All of the apostles, except Judas, of course, who had hung himself in despair, and St. Thomas, who was not with the apostles at the time, had locked themselves in the cenacle, the very room where the Last Supper was held. And this they did because they were afraid. The apostles feared that the Jews might do to them what they had just done to our divine Savior. And so they locked themselves in a room. Now, in his gospel, St. John doesn't give the reason why St. Thomas wasn't with the other apostles. All we know is that he was not with them when Jesus came. But when St. Thomas did return late that first Easter Sunday night, the other apostles had great news for him. We have seen the Lord, they eagerly told him. We saw his wounds, the holes in his hands and feet, the gash in his side. We saw them. Thomas, he is truly risen from the dead. St. Thomas listened carefully to all they had to say. He wanted to believe them, but he could not. Such a thing was too astounding to be true, because remember, the apostles had lost their faith that first Good Friday. And so St. Thomas doubted. Unless I see for myself, he declared. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Our divine Savior allowed St. Thomas, who because of his refusal to believe is known to us as Doubting Thomas, our Lord allowed him to continue in this state for about 8 days. And then 8 days later, 8 days after his resurrection, the risen Master again appeared to the apostles. This time, Thomas was with them. And our divine Savior appeared to them. He looked right at St. Thomas, and he walked right up to him. Thomas, our Lord gently said, put in thy finger hither, and see my hands. Bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Imagine how stunned St. Thomas was. Every gentle word spoken by Christ must have stung St. Thomas like a lash. He instantly fell to his knees, and looking into the understanding eyes of Christ, what tears must have filled his eyes. St. Thomas then uttered those immortal words, words which the Church encourages us to say silently to ourselves at the consecration of every Mass, while looking at the raised host and chalice. My Lord and my God. Our Divine Savior looked at his now believing apostle, and he said to him, Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Like St. Thomas, my dear friends, each and every one of us is at times tempted to doubt. No, we do not call into question the fact that Christ rose from the dead, nor do we doubt the teachings of the Catholic Church. But at times we may be tempted to question God's loving providence. We may be tempted to ask, why does God allow this? Does God really care? You see, things are going to happen in this world that we will not understand. And the devil will make use of this as an opportunity to tempt us to doubt divine providence, to doubt God's loving care for each and every one of us, to make, as it were, doubting Thomases out of us. You know, a few years ago, I remember going to a hospital to anoint a lady who was dying of cancer. She was a wife and a mother. The family did not attend our chapel, but they desired the traditional rite of extreme unction. After I had finished administering the sacrament, the husband asked if he could speak to me for a few minutes. He walked outside the room, and he said to me, Father, I'm having a very hard time with this. Why is God taking her? Why is he letting her suffer like this? What did she do to deserve this? Why is he going to let my children suffer without a mother? Of course, answering questions like these is never an easy thing, especially in this particular case. And what made it even more difficult was that the man asked these questions not merely out of grief, but with a slight amount of resentment towards Almighty God. For he later added, Father, how can I continue praying to a God who allows this? I sympathized with the man's heartbreaking situation, and I offered what words of encouragement and comfort that I could, in an attempt to gently move him to resign himself to God's will and to cultivate a greater trust in divine providence, that everything would be okay in the end, and that God would use the prayers of his wife in heaven to help him and his family. In our world, situations like this are not uncommon. We are weak creatures with a fallen human nature. Our bodies bleed when they are wounded. And our hearts bleed tears when they are cut by sorrow and trial. This difficulty is often increased by the fact that we typically do not understand why certain things happen, whether they happen to us or to those we love. Why we suffer. Why our loved ones die. Why life can at times seem so unfair. It is typically at such times that we will be tempted to question Almighty God. We must be ever mindful, though, that such thoughts are nothing more than temptations to doubt God and His goodness and love. Thoughts that we must not entertain. Like the soldier Robert Keyworth, we will all deal with sorrow and hardship to a certain extent. We will be faced with a bit of uncertainty in our lives. I mean, look at the situation we're dealing with right now. The virus, the widespread fear and panic it has caused, thanks in no small part to the media. The struggling economy. There is quite a bit of difficulty and uncertainty right now. And we have no way of knowing when this will be over and what will follow in its wake. Although it does seem to be starting to taper down. But still, we don't know. Throughout our lives, we will be faced with moments of hardship, sorrow, and fear to one degree or another. It is at such times that we must remember that God is in control. We must remember at such times that He loves us, each and every one of us with an infinite love. And thus He will help us through all of our problems and difficulties. He will take care of our families. He will take care of us. For He is our Father who lovingly arranges every single detail of our lives, even the smallest. And He does this knowing what is best for us and what is best for those we love, even if we don't see it. And there are many times that we don't see it. And thus, we must be on guard that we do not give in to the temptation to question God or to murmur against His all-permissive will. Instead, at these difficult times, we must confidently repeat with Robert Keyworth those two words, have faith. Have faith that when all is said and done, everything happens for a reason. Have faith that there is nothing that can happen to us. There is nothing that can happen in this world without God's permission. No, God does not cause evil. He does not necessarily cause suffering. God is all good. He cannot will what is evil. But He does allow these things. He does allow evil and suffering because He will not infringe upon man's free will or because such things are the result of original sin. But even these things, the evil, the suffering, even these God will use for His plan. He will draw a greater good from them. That we can be sure of. And thus, even evil and suffering and sorrow have a purpose of which we are often unaware. For we are not gods, and we do not see things the way God sees them. You see, God sees the big picture. We only see tiny parts and blurry parts at that. It's kind of like a puzzle. God sees the complete work, the complete puzzle, all the pieces in place. We only see small portions, little blotches here and there, and sometimes we only see one little piece at a time. And so, realizing that we don't see the big picture, We must be ever mindful that though we may not understand everything in this life, there is a plan for everything that happens. We must only have faith. The most profound example in the history of the world of God bringing good from evil is the passion and death of our divine Savior. If any one of us had been there, if we had stood on Mount Calvary and watched the cruel soldiers hammer nails through his hands and his feet, and then raise him up on the cross to hang there and die, if we had witnessed this most horrific scene, knowing he was God, realizing he was completely innocent, we would not have understood why our divine Savior was suffering so much. But now we know the answer to this. Now we understand why. Looking back at the passion of our divine Savior so many years later in the light of faith, we know that it is because of Christ's passion and death that Satan was defeated. We know that because of the cross, the gates of heaven were opened, and that now we have a chance to spend eternity in paradise. Thus, from the great evil heaped upon our divine Savior, God brought the greater good of our redemption. He turned the crucifixion into the resurrection. From Good Friday, he brought Easter Sunday. And he will do the same for us, if we but have faith. Let us then place our trust and confidence in our blessed Savior. And when the sufferings and hardships of this life come, rather than complain about these things, rather than say in the manner of St. Thomas, unless I see and understand why these things happen, I will not believe. I will not have confidence in God's loving providence. Rather than say and think such things, let us remind ourselves, have faith. And let us say to our divine Savior with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God, my Lord, help me to see that it is your will for these things to happen. My God, help me to realize that this is how you want it, and therefore how I want it. And I am confident that you will help me to bear it. Blessed are they who believe and have not seen, our Lord said. Blessed are they who trust me, who have confidence in me, without seeing my plan. Let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain for us this trust, this confidence. Ever mindful of the consoling words of that United States soldier, there are two words on which I base my courage and my hope of a better time. Accept them, he wrote, and use them each day that you live. Use them in all situations, no matter how difficult the situation will be, and you will have a happy life. The two words are, have faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.